Right, so today I get to complete the Purpose series, and it's going to be a wonderful time. You're going to be blessed. I'm glad that you made it. Are you glad that you made it? Some of you need to tell your faces. Who's happy? Oh, okay. It's like my brother once said to me, "Hey, Craig, sometimes when I'm somewhere and something's going on, I'm freaking out on the outside, but inside I'm calm." Shouldn't that be the other way around? My brother Adrian. All right, so if we can have those five, remember we spoke, when he first spoke about this, the five broad lanes, remember? And how there'll be small tributaries or small lanes that we're going to be taking. How amazing has the devotions been in the booklet? Great stuff. The life group stuff's been good, has it not? And so it's just been in a phenomenal series. But all five, please, if we can have them up there. So of course, it's my purpose is Christ, my purpose is Christ-likeness, my purpose is community, my purpose is the common good, and my purpose is the Great Commission. But I've changed the my to the are there, because essentially, this is the things that we do together. Amen. These broad lanes, even though we travel on them individually, we also travel on them together, in our togetherness. Who's with me? As Joseph Prince says, can I get a good amen? Hey, maybe I should say that from now on, eh? Because when I say amen, everyone just stares at me. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Joseph, where you been all my life? You see, we can't outwork Christ's likeness if we don't know Christ. We can't outwork community if we're not walking in Christ's likeness. We can't really understand the common good, as Andrew so wonderfully preached last week, if we don't understand community. And we can't really outwork the Great Commission if we don't understand the common good of what God's calling us together to do. Amen? This is a good common good, not like 3 years ago when governments were telling us about the common good, etc., etc. Amen? Let me not go down that road now, should I? But this, the common good, or what's good for us as a community, is to actually get the gospel to people. Likewise, we can't outwork the common good, the Great Commission, if we don't understand the common good. We can't outwork common good, don't understand community. We can't outwork community if we're not walking in Christ-likeness, and we can't walk in Christ-likeness if we don't know Jesus. Amen. So they all work together, all five highways, or all five broad paths. Each one is connected to the next. I used to say this many years ago. I haven't said it for a while, actually. The nine fruits of the Spirit. I once had a picture. You know those marshmallows that you get? They're like twist. It's like different colors. It's different strands. Strands within the twist. Twisty strands? But it was like nine. You got nine of those strands that twist together. But you can't pull each one apart. They're all like melted. Each one has its own, you can see it, but you can't pull it off the main common good. I felt the Holy Spirit was the same, the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit all work together in our lives like that, like those strands. Each one interacts with the next one. We can't really outwork peace if we don't have the love of God in our hearts and understand how much He loves us. We can't actually work out joy if we don't have peace. You with me? We can't have faithfulness if we're not outworking self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. That's unusual, that noise. Matthew 4:19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So Matthew 4:19 and Luke 5:10. Luke 5:10, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. But just before that, in Luke, Jesus is on the beachfront, on the beach rather. Well, it wasn't that funny, non fundo. He was in his beachfront condo. Have you not read that? Jesus is on the beach cooking fish. And what happens is that he says to the guys, or to the fishermen, throw your nets out that side. And of course, they've been fishing all night. They're like, hey, what are you talking about? There's no fish here. And he says, throw your nets out there. And eventually they go, okay, let's throw our fish out. And they've got so much fish that they have to call other boats to come help them because the nets are breaking. And Peter exclaims, he goes, my God, oh Lord, it's you. He understands there's a supernatural component to this person talking. And he sees Jesus, his eyes open up. And then Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. He speaks to Peter, even though Peter sees Jesus for who he is, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. When we get a revelation of who Jesus is, friends, number one, my purpose, we drop down to the Great Commission because we can't help but outwork the commission when we see Christ. Amen? It is our calling. Encounter God, find community, fulfill destiny. Our destiny is to help people encounter God. Amen? It's to help people encounter the Father. But we have to step out of our comfort zone sometimes. We went 2 weeks ago. A team went to this old age home up the road. I think I counted about 40 people in that picture. Retirement home. With the strands. Yes, how much more correcting are you going to do here? I will not wash dishes today. So, and I say this with all the pastoral juices I can muster. You will see that coming out of my pores now as I talk. About 40 people in that picture. You know, in a combined meetings, it's a bit rainy today, so guys are, you know, the demon of Edblow. They can't break past that demon of the quilt. But ordinarily, we have about 380, 400 people on a Sunday morning combined meetings. It's 10% of people that went there. It's not very good. Amen? Hey, Craig, are you trying to whip the guys? No, I'm just saying something, friends. We should have 300, 400. We should have everybody there. Hey, listen, there's too many people. You have to go away. Amen? It's like, oh, it's a Saturday morning, Craig. Like, I've got to go shopping. You know, I've got stuff to do, you know. I'll mow the lawn. I'll clean my car. You know, I've got to wash it. When we see Jesus, we want to outwork the Great Commission. Amen? Jesus loves those people. He loves those people. Society might have forgotten about them. A lot of their family don't give a rip. But Jesus loves them. Amen? I'll leave that with you. Let's see what happens the next time we have one. Hey, Leo, what do you say? No, everyone's going to go there. Well, that's great. That's great. Let's step into what God's called us to. Amen? I understand we can't all go to everything, but really sometimes it's just a heart matter. I'm grateful that 40 people went. Could have been 4. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? That's wonderful. Well done. Thank you, Lord. But friends, I might as well put my notes away. Why introduce Jesus to other people? Why preach the gospel? Why take this out to the world? 3 points and we're done. 3 points, a few sub-points, and we're going home. All right, to enjoy the head blows. No demons here. Ephesians 2:12. Paul says this. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. Of course, the Israel is not a geographical Israel Paul is talking about, but a spiritual one. Excluded from that, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise under Abraham, of course, excluded without hope and without God in this world. Friends, the world does not have hope without the gospel of Jesus. They're trying to find hope through everything, the bottom of a bottle or the end of something that they're smoking. Amen. Trying to find hope through that. Or in their minds, they just amass up wealth get as much money as I can, save it up in my piggy bank, so that one day when I retire, I can go live in a retirement home in Durban North and go spend the rest of my years there in peace and quiet. Because that's the hope that I live for. Amen. And at 65, 70, you're making your way across there, and next minute you get sick. And all the money you've lived for and worked so hard for just sits in the bank account because now you're dying at 70 years old. Amen. What a life. I get born to eat food, pass through my body, take air and die. And Paul says it's an empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers. So basically, I take my life from that life that my forefather had, my dad, and he hands it down to me, Paul says, and I take it, thank you, and then I hand it down to my son, he takes it, thank you, and I hand it down until the father breaks in and completely changes my trajectory. Amen. Otherwise, I'll be taking that life. And I can tell you, friends, there's many, many believers that are still taking that life from their forefathers. Because they haven't seen Jesus. They're going to heaven. They're born again. They're righteous. They're holy. But they haven't seen Jesus for who he is. Amen. And the problem is people like that, Christians like that, tend to inoculate other Christians against God. Because they don't want that life. They're looking for something real. I could point out many of the benefits of salvation, but I want to just give you five things of mine that I experienced over the last 20 years coming back to the Lord. I gave my life to Jesus when I was about 12, 13 years old. I was speaking in tongues. I got some of my friends saved. Two of my friends are still with the Lord today. I got them saved when we were both all 13 years old in grade or standard 6 back then. Amen. And then I backslid. Like the prodigal son for 12 years. Let me tell you something. This might blow your little theological box out the water here. But I remember at about 25 years old, walking home drunk here in Durban through the beachfront, through the town, walking to my beachfront flat. I lived there. Walking home. I start speaking in tongues and I'm drunk. And I'm like, hey, stop that. That's so stupid. What are you doing? That's stupid. Yeah? The gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Speaking in tongues as a drunk person, 7-8 years backslidden from God. Amen. You don't lose a gift God gave you when you come to him. But you can squander and mess around with your calling. Amen. My notes are all higgledy-piggledy here. All right. Big point number one for me, or small point number one, under the big point number one. I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. The point of salvation. You see, he is my rock. Psalm 62 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Let's say this together. The Lord is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Psalm 62 verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Man, some shaking times are coming. Who's been shaken in the last 3-4 years? When you don't have a solid rock, yay, you're going to get shaken with a tree like the tree in the wind. But when you have the Father as one that holds you fast, like an anchor for the soul, a relationship with God, not under, I know God, something out there. No, I know the Father. He holds your heart steady. Amen? That is a relationship with God. Too much of the church, friends, has introduced the world to Christianity. And people have become disillusioned and bitter with people. If my faith is in a person, and I get disappointed with that person, and I fall away from God, my faith was never in God, but in that person. It actually might have been in God when I first got saved, but then I put my faith in that person, and I allowed that person to dictate what life's supposed to be like. Amen? And what happened when that person faltered and fumbled and fell, or he disappointed me by not releasing me to do something, and I got bitter and twisted inside, I left God because of that person. My faith was not in God, but in man. Amen? Can you see the pastoral juices flow? Number two, my view of things has changed. This is what happens when you know God. My view of sexual intimacy, my view of friendships, my view of family, my view of sport and entertainment, my view of work, my view of this world, my view of governments, my view of movements and social clubs. God has changed my view about things irrevocably. They can never be changed back. I'd have to be lobotomized. I mean, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Bottle of water. Amen. He's changed my view. I have to make a joke. Some people are looking very angry. Got their arms folded. Now I check all of a sudden, oh my Lord. Changed my view of life. Number three, my heart has changed. My sins are being forgiven. My God has softened my heart. You know, one of the biggest issues in this world, friends, is bitterness and unforgiveness. Harboring bad thoughts about people. Amen. The Father's forgiven me. Who am I not to forgive someone else? The parable, Jesus spoke that parable out. Remember, of the guys, I don't know if that background music is a little too loud. It just sounds quite loud for me. I know you're getting into it, but it's... Remember, he says the guy forgives him like millions of rands. He forgives his debt. And the other guy owes him like 100 bucks. Says, you will give me 100 rand, I'll put you in prison if you don't give it to me. It's like, that's what we do. The Father has forgiven me all the sin against an eternal God. And if someone does something, I just don't forgive them. I'm not going to forgive you. So what happens? The Father softens our heart. He softens the heart so that my heart becomes soft that I may forgive. Amen? That's not easy. Sometimes things happen to us and we're like, hey, Craig, it's tough. I know it's tough. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need Christ-likeness. Some believers have been walking with God for 30 years. They still harbor bitterness and stuff and, you know, against people. My life's trajectory has changed. Oh my gosh, I'm eating all of my time now. My life's trajectory has changed. I was going this way and then I'm going this way. See, I gave my life to Jesus as a young boy. Remember that? Who remembers that guy, Leon Patillo? You are flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Don't remember. I had a tape, Mr. Leon Patillo, African-American gospel singer. I still remember he had this afro and he had this color that went around. Not the gay thing. It was pastel colors. But I remember that tape. And I could sing all those songs. I sang them over and over and over. I don't know why I loved that. It's just now escapes me, all the songs. But I used to love that stuff. Going to church. And then my parents started getting divorced. My mom and my stepdad, they went through tough times. They started kind of separating, not going to church. At 16, we all stopped going to church. See, local house is very important. I'm telling you. And when I stopped going to youth, I stopped going to, because my parents stopped going. And so we asked, I mean, you could have kept going, Craig. I know. But that's what happened. I got involved with the wrong friends at school. All the jocks, the rugby players and all that, and all my friends and all the... I was at Marisburg College back in the day. And I have went down the wrong road. By the time I finished school, I was already on the wrong path. And right to the age of 29, I'd left the Father's house and went to a foreign land. And let me tell you, the famine came in the foreign land, because it always comes. Maybe not straight away, but the famine comes. Amen? Because God wanted to turn my heart back to Him. My mom came back to the Lord, started praying for me. 6 months later, I came back to Jesus at 29. So I did a bit of a trajectory bypass there. I was still going to heaven, by the way, but I was losing my reward. In 1999, I came back to the Lord, and I've never backslidden since. I've had my foot on the gas since then. I've never stopped. I'm not something special. That's what God calls us all to do. Amen? And if you haven't done that, it's fine. I didn't do that for a while either. I backslid when I was younger. Just get back on track and keep moving forward. But your track has changed. That is not your track anymore if you're born again. If you're not born again, that is your track and you need to get saved. The track that leads to bad things. The world's in a mess where it is because people don't have Jesus. Amen? Anyway, spending too long on that. Number five, my eternal destination has changed. That's just a given. But not change when I die. It's changed now. That's all, those years when I was backslidden, the father was crying in his heart, crying for me, because he's saying, son, you're living in the dumps. You're living in the gutter, and you could be living in the palace, but you're choosing to do that. The prodigal son had to come to his senses and come back to the father, and that's what I did. But that's where I was on a, you're on a, God's changed your eternal address. But as Jesus says, Lord, let it be in heaven now as it was in, well, no, he didn't say that. He said, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because I already live in heaven. Colossians tells me I'm seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And so therefore I've got to outwork that while I'm on the planet. I've got to bring heaven to earth in every shape, way, and form. Amen. Regardless of where I am and what I'm doing. Number, I'm done with those numbers. Big number two. Christ's compassion is too big to contain. When he saw the crowds, Matthew 9:36, he had compassion on them. Say compassion. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now here we go. Listen to this. The word compassion in the Greek is not the word compassion. This is the Greek word. Let's have it there. Who can pronounce that one? Splunk, splunk, blunk, blunk. Splan. Chnizomai, splanchisnomai. What did you just do there? Splanchisomai. That word for compassion, you know what it is in the original Greek? Look at the next words there. Gut wrenching. Not I want to get sick and throw up. It's I'm in pain because of the compassion I'm feeling for you. Oh God, this person's going through something. Oh, I'm going to help them. That's the word, what Jesus felt, that compassion. It compelled him, his love for people. Paul tells us, God's love compels us, compels me. It's a compassion, it's a gut-wrenching feeling that pulls me to do something for someone. Amen? If only us believers can have more of that. That's why he wants us to become more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, all this is from God who reconciled to himself, us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he reconciled me through Jesus, and then he says to me, Craig, now I want you to do the same thing I just did for you, now you do for others. He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Why is he not counting people's sins against them? It's a good question. You need to ask yourself that. Does that mean they're saved? No. They're not born again. But there's something there that needs to be unpacked. And has to do with the law. But I digress. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Listen to that word, appeal. It's not like, oh, come on, man. Hey, come give your life to Jesus. Come on, man. There's an appeal. Come on. It's like the attorney appeals to the judge. Come on, be lenient on this person. Guys, I need that clock behind you working. Thank you. You just knocked it. I need the time. Otherwise, I'm going to go until 1 o'clock. Thank you. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You see those words? This is the words of the Father, the words of God, the Spirit of God. We implore. He wants to, has to carry that gut-wrenching. We implore you on Christ's behalf. In 2018, during the FIFA World Cup. Remember the 2018 FIFA World Cup? Well, don't remember that. Remember this. There were 12 boys plus their coach that went climbing into a cave in Thailand. Remember that? And they got stuck. And there was not much news around it. And yet these two guys, they went in, they crawled through all these crawl spaces in water, and they had to take their backpacks off at some place because it was so tight. Their breathing apparatus, they couldn't get in, got inside. And eventually, the GoPros, they kind of filmed it all. And as they arrived, there's 12 boys, all singing. Their coach, they got a little bit of food, but they're happy to see these guys. I think they were singing gospel songs. But what happened was that GoPro footage went viral. Next minute, you had 100 professional divers from America, from England, from all different parts of the world, all converging on this area. Supplies, money. Why? Because people's hearts suddenly went out to those boys sitting in the dark. Let me tell you, my friends, God, the Father's heart goes out to people sitting in the dark. And He wants to send you and I as rescue divers into some dangerous places sometimes. Amen. Skills development. Skills development was part of that thing. Of our thing. Why does God want us to develop our skill? Because we need skill like the diver to go through places that are not safe so we can rescue those in darkness. Amen. I say to the worship team, we've got to practice. We've got to practice and rehearse and practice and practice. Why? So we can be as good as we can to pull people who are sitting sometimes in darkness into the presence of God. You understand? It's not about Craig trying to whip. It's about you going, becoming all that you can be to outwork the calling God called you to do so that you can be the diver who rescues people using the gifting God has given you. Amen. You've got to see it for what it is. Not for this face talking to you, but for the Lord trying to call you into deeper areas of account of faithfulness. Because they couldn't almost send anyone into that place. They had to be gifted and to do what they could do to pull those boys out. Amen. You carry gifting that God's given you because He wants you to be able to pull people out using your gifting. Even if it means you stand at the door and smile. Amen. Why? And when people come in, love on them, smile. Why? They're already arriving. Because Jesus has a gut-wrenching compassion for everyone. That guy and that family walking through the doors, you don't know, but last night, yesterday, the husband was like, I'm not going. And the wife knows, we got to go. And then the morning, he says, come babe, we got to go. He's like, okay, because he, in his heart, he knows the Holy Spirit's talking, but he's like, sweating, they're walking, their hands are sweating, back of their neck is sweating, they're nervous, they're walking, and everyone just ignores them. I just talked to my friend about the rugby. Oh, hey, rugby last week, they just walk in, sit down. All the things we have up here, the videos and all the stuff we have for you to write is to make you feel at home and comfortable so that you don't sit feeling like a spare wheel. You have something to do. Really, that's the point. All the time we do the videos, not just to give you information. It's so that you have something to watch. You'd have to engage someone if you don't want to. But not for you, the people coming in. Amen. We want to use everything we can to reach people in the darkness of their lives so we can pull them into the light. Who's with me? And so we upskill ourselves in everything we do. We got one life, my friends. One life. I promise you, when you get to heaven one day, you're going to realize, hey, Craig was right. We got one life. We might as well equip ourselves as best we can. Do you know Chris Vellaton? I love what he said last week in his Facebook page. Everything you do in this life, everything you do with the giftings God's given you, sets you up for the next life. When you die and get to the next life, you can't carry on with that anymore. You are stuck with what you did on the planet by faith. You're rewarded what you do in the next life. The Bible is very clear about that. Very, very clear. Because we're no longer having to walk by faith anymore. That thing is off there. I think you're touching it. Yeah, you're bashing that. There we go. Move it around. There we go. There we go. Oh my Lord, you see now, I've got 20 seconds left. That's what you've done. Amen. It's like we need to be accountable to the Holy Spirit. It's like, why must Craig sit down and challenge you about something that you're doing incorrectly? That's a part of your gifting and call. There's a character issue. Let the Holy Spirit do it, then I won't have to look like the bad guy. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you and challenge you. Rise up. Number three. The Great Commission is too great to disobey. It's a few minutes and I'm done with this. I say disobey because essentially that's what it's about. It's being disobedient. If we're not being faithful, friends, with our gifting, we're being disobedient. Amen. We're actually sinning. Now, our sin has been reconciled at the cross. Amen? God doesn't see my sin, actually. Because He sees Jesus. But my sin, if I keep walking in things that are unhelpful for me, it's going to hurt me down the line. God might even bypass me. David is not God's first choice. Saul was. But Saul couldn't get over himself. He couldn't go to the low place. He couldn't humble himself. It's God's prerogative to make you nothing before he makes you something. Amen? Allow God to humble you and make you nothing. Sometimes, taking someone else's counsel and outworking what they tell you is actually making yourself nothing, because no one tells me what to do. You see, actually, I need to take this on board and do this. Humble myself to be nothing so that I can be something one day. Saul refused, but he got what he got. He fell on his own sword. Amen? Now, I don't mean you're going to commit suicide. Of course not. But what I'm saying is that was the fruit of Saul's disobedience, unfaithfulness, that God would bypass him and choose someone else's heart who was after him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, David led the people with skillful hands and a shepherd's heart. Skillful hands. In other words, he had upskilled himself his whole life in the dark place where no one is watching. He spent time skilling himself and throwing a thing and looking after someone else's sheep. Because he needed that skill in order to shepherd God's people. Amen. And then a shepherd's heart, someone who carries the compassion of God for people. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says in the latter days, God's going to raise up a church that carries us greater than the former and then greater than the temple. Amen. And David was a great one in the temple. You and I carry the heart of David if you're a son of God. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. No, I won't. Go and preach the gospel to all creation. I don't feel like it. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins we preached in this name to all nations. You are witnesses of these things. Nah, I don't feel like it. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. No, to that old age place. No, I'm washing my car. You'll be my witness to the ends of the earth. And not today, Jesus. Have you seen that shirt? Not today, Satan. Have you seen that? Duff McKagan wears that shirt. Duff, not today, Satan. He's at Guns N' Roses. Some Christians need to wear a shirt that says, not today, Jesus. Amen? Interesting. See, these are things that the Father, through His Son, is telling us. He's telling us here. Who are we to say no? No, I'm not going to do that. This is part of our call, that people would fulfill their destiny so they can encounter God. Amen? Part of our purpose is the Great Commission. It's not for the leaders sitting in the front row, the elders, the deacons, the saints, the elders, you guys, it's you. It's actually for all of us as we step into things. Why don't we stand together? I want to finish by reading something that John Piper wrote 10 years ago. Listen to this. You know, if you're looking at me and you're new to Grace Life, haven't been around long, you say, yeah, sick this guy, he's giving us a heavy hand here. Try to look past me and look at the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Chew the meat, spit the bones. Amen? Father, what are you saying me through this guy here? John Piper, from time to time in the life of the church, there needs to be a wake-up call to some simple and central and basic things. One of these things is Christianity is an evangelistic movement. It is persuasive and expansive and missionary. It is not coercive. It does not use the sword, manipulation, or brainwashing, but it does proclaim and persuade and plead and pray and appeal and implore. When we lose a passion to see people won over to Jesus, we lose Jesus. Christianity is a soul-winning, outreaching, and mind-persuading, heart-entreating, rescuing, missionary faith. Sorry, if it's not that, it's not true Christianity. If you signed on board, got born again into something, it just said, don't worry, come on a Sunday, listen to the preacher, have a cup of tea and leave, you were sold the wrong dream. You were given the wrong mandate. Amen? That's not the Bible. We need to be reminded of this because it is almost incredible how listless we can become while calling ourselves Christians. Little by little, our whole orientation can become inward. That's why we do what we do with the life groups. We keep changing them every 5 months. Why? So the life groups don't become inward looking. After 5 years, the same six people sitting in the lounge talking about the same problems they have. Amen? So people can be, oh, it's a whole new group of people. Oh, awesome. Let me find out about you. Wonderful. Perhaps if we hadn't done that, you'd never know about Joe Bloggs in your group now. Amen? But still, it's a mindset. We need to push ourselves into that. We just go about our in-house religious business like a medical clinic that sees fewer and fewer patients and has more and more staff meetings until there is nothing left but a smooth running program for the doctors and nurses and their families. This, unfortunately, friends, is what happens in many churches. Lord, let that not be with grace, love. Amen? Not because we white knuckle, come on, people. No, because the Holy Spirit's convicting us and bringing truth to our hearts that He's called us to outwalk this walk, not for our sake, but for the community, for the common good, because we are Christ-like and for Jesus to take the gospel into the world. Amen. Starting with the person sitting next to us at our home, our neighbor, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Bless you guys.